Hope, how many years did you do TV in this town?
35. I was here in 71, left in 75, was gone for 8 years, came back in 83.
Stayed the whole way after that. Wow.
Yeah.
He and I did some TV football together.
Yes, we
did. Syracuse, New York. I don't remember the places, but I remember Syracuse.
Yeah. I
and
do too.
And some
the,
others.
And the Dome.
Yes.
Yes, it was hot, as I recall.
It was Jared DiNardo's first game.
Yeah. Boy, I hadn't thought about that guy in forever.
Well,
he's got a restaurant somewhere, doesn't he?
He had one in Bloomington.
Okay.
I don't think that's still percolating.
All right.
Okay. He had one. I do know that. Jerry lives in Chicago, and he's on the Big Ten Network. He's been with the Big Ten Network for years.
That's right.
He also has a place that he bought while he was at LSU in Sandestin.
Ah.
So when I'm down there, and it's been a few years, I've been down in a few years, I will run into him. Matter of fact, we've had him over and done the show with him at the condo down there. And remember one year I was walking my young son, who now is 15, but at the time he was like 5. We were walking around Sandestin, and this guy in a purple jersey
yeah.
And it's Jerry. About ran me over. And Jerry's doing very well. Yeah, doing very well. Hope Hines with us. Tell us all about this event.
This is the Tennessee Baptist Children's Home Golf Tournament. This is the 26th year. I have been, the 26th year. Actually, it's the 27th year, and I have been hosting it for 26 years. So I've got a run here that they won't let me break. They say you got to keep going until you die. So, you know, how many jobs can you keep doing that? I know there are a lot of people that do that. I am just blessed, Bill, and privileged to be associated with this great organization. For those who don't know anything about the Tennessee Baptist Children's Home, it's on Franklin Road and has been one of the best-kept secrets in Middle Tennessee for over 100 years. That's the way they wanted it. They wanted to fly under the radar. But now, in different times and different generations, the home is beginning to perk its head up above water and say, hey, folks, here we are. This is what we do. And we take care of children who are abandoned, who are both sexually and physically and psychologically abused. And they bring them in and they teach them Christian principles, and they live in a home with parents who will love them and who already have their family. Some of these parents have 2 or 3 children, so they blend them together. It's a blended family. And it has just worked so well for over 100 years. And then about 4 years ago, the state of Tennessee came to the officials there, Dr. Bryant Millsaps specifically, and says, you know, you guys have been doing this pretty good with kids and foster homes. We're having some problems across the state with ours. Would you consider joining us or taking it over or telling us how to do it? And we've been doing that for the last 4 years for the state. And so they do a great job. I'm just tickled to death to be associated with it. And we do this golf tournament, Bill, as you know. You've been out here for however many years. And all of the money goes to the home. And, I like to tell people, so you can kind of, you can visualize this and you can get your arms around it when I tell you, and we've got 3 homes across the state, that this golf tournament will feed these children for an entire year. When you hear that and you can visualize that and you can say, you know what, I don't mind putting my money there. These kids are going to be fed and they're going to be taken care of. So that's what we're doing out here today, and we've got people that have played in this tournament for, oh my gosh, probably 26 years. And tickled to death to be here at Nashville Golf and Athletic, and tickled to death to be here with you, Bill.
Spoiled people like me don't realize how many kids are in need.
I'm
just being honest. I am guilty there.
Oh, yeah, we all are.
We don't realize it because we've not been around it. And it's real.
This is true. It is. And these kids, the number one thing that the parents have to accomplish with these kids when they first walk in those homes? Trust.
Oh.
Because they don't trust anybody. They don't trust their parents because they've been abused. They've been abandoned. They've been left.
Right.
So once they pull them into their trust, now they can begin to work with them. And so that's very vital. But you don't think about that, Bill. Trust is something that we all want to make sure that we are being trustful and trustworthy with our friends and family as we expect other people to be trustful and trustworthy with us, but it doesn't. We know it doesn't always happen. So it's a big deal. But we don't understand that unless you go out and people have come. People want to know more about the home. They come out, take tours. They're beautiful homes there on Franklin Road, and even have dinner with the family. If you want to do that, they'll sign you up for 6 o'clock on a certain day. You come out, sit down, see how they interact. It's just amazing what they do with them.
What is different about TV since you left?
Well, I think the thing for me, Bill, is the technology. And you can say that about most any industry, I guess. But the technology is just, it's fascinating to me. I left 10 years ago, and it was time for me to go. I was ready to get out. And because the technology was overwhelming to me, and I didn't really have to understand it like a lot of people do because I had photographers and other people that would do it. But from that standpoint, and maybe you're talking about something else, but the other side of it is after you get past technology, and you can say this about news too, boy, I don't know what news is anymore. I don't know what sports, I mean, you know, it kind of gets clouded with all of the, everybody out there is a reporter. If you've got a phone, you can be a reporter. If you're out there and you have a phone, you can start a rumor. And it's just unbelievable. Back in my day, and in your day too, Bill, if I went on the air with a story that I was breaking, I had to have two sources, not one. I had to have two sources before I could go on and say, folks, here's what I know and here's what I've learned.
And you, one of your art forms was breaking stories.
Well, thank you. I worked hard at it. And you know what that's all about? It's called relationships. You just got to have a relationship with a lot of people. And here again, let's go back to this trust factor. They have to trust you that they say, okay, Hope, if I tell you this, first of all, you don't give my name. Fine, we're good with that. You know, I'm not going to reveal your source or my source. And then they have to trust you that you're going to tell it and present it the way in which they see it and know it or whatever it may be. And that's a factor that a lot of people I don't see today cultivating. Everybody's just shooting from the hip.
And anonymous sources are totally mainstream now.
Yeah, I know.
You can say, anonymous source tells me today that a turtle's going to hit a tee shot 500 yards.
And some people will believe
it. And it's real.
It's real. I'd cover that story.
I'd actually stay for that.
Yes, I would too. I would cover that story. Yeah, exactly. But you know, I mean, I don't know. It's just it's not a business I want to be a part of today, really. And with all of those things said, Bill,
and
it's just,
here's the other thing. Just last 10 years with technology. Now, if you're doing what you did as a sportscaster on TV, you have to tweet a tease before you go on the air just for social media.
True. That's the other side of it. You know, you have a whole nother staff just handling social media. And oftentimes the staff handling social media and those of us that are on the air,
right,
we kind of get crossed up. Just because of communication, you know. That communication skill is still there with whatever you do, especially in television and radio and that sort of thing. But, yeah, the business, you know, it's changed. There's no question about it. I got to admit, I don't watch the news like I used to. I just don't. And I watch as much sports as I want to, you know, and that's a certain freedom too, Bill, because for 40 years, I had to watch it and know what was going on. Now I can casually watch it. I don't have to know everything about it, and I'm okay with that. As long as I get the headlines and I understand what's happened, you know, when this coach was fired or this coach was hired or whatever the case may be.
I mentioned you a week or two ago. It was about this event, and people started calling me and sending tweets about you. I knew you. You and I have talked. You're from Georgia. Went to Georgia.
Right.
But growing up, Was that the Wally Butts era?
Oh, absolutely.
It's pre-Dooley.
Yes, pre-Dooley. Absolutely. Wally Butts was king. Wally Butts was, what's the word I want to use? Wally Butts was an enigma, kind of. He was just this little round guy, and boy, he could coach football, and he had great teams, and, you know, he was all business. Either his way, that's the first time I think I ever heard the term his way or the highway, because it absolutely was. And back in those days, you could do that.
Right.
You could do that with kids.
Right.
Because that's the way we were raised. So you fell right into that. It was just a flow, you know, from home to Wally or high school coach or whoever it may be. Not today.
No.
Yeah, Wally was, and then Wally Butts, how many people remember the Wally Butts Bear Bryant Life magazine story?
We talked about it a bunch.
Yeah, okay.
Then Saturday Evening Post.
I'm sorry, Saturday Evening Post.
Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah.
Which turned into a lifetime snit between those two. I think apparently they kind of mended a little bit, right?
Yeah, they did.
But
they
that
did.
Lawsuit put that Saturday Evening Post out of business.
No, I don't know that I realized that. Okay,
yes.
Okay, all right.
I various settlements. Bear got six figures. So did Wally Butts.
Yeah.
But then again, it was a gambling story.
Oh, I know it was. Yeah,
Barry,
by telephone.
Imagine that in the '60s too. Ooh,
yeah, yeah.
Ooh.
That was
see
hot.
Today, nobody would care.
That's right. That was hot.
You might as well have bombed a country.
Yeah.
You know
that kind of story happens every day somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
In this country.
Hey, you're patted on the back about that today.
Yeah, and I was at Dooley came to Georgia in 64, 65. I started the university in 65, and I began covering him at that point. Boy,
wow,
that was an eye-opener for a young kid from Quitman, Georgia, population 5,000, who had done a little bit of radio there before I went to college and did a little bit of play-by-play. And, but, man, being able to cover – you know, him and Irk Russell and all of the great staff that they had there and the great players. Man, it was just a godsend almost. That was how I cut my teeth on those guys. And, boy, it was a different era too, Bill. It just was. And Bear Bryant, you know, that was that whole – and Shug Jordan. And, I mean, you could just go from coach to coach to coach.
Johnny Vaught.
Oh, my gosh.
We don't have – I was trying to tell this audience – we don't have the names like that today. Now, Nick Saban aside, but I'm just talking about name after name after name after name.
Absolutely.
The names today do not command what those names commanded.
Charlie McClendon. Fabulous.
Right.
Somebody once told me, we were talking about coaches, and we were in a conversation. I said something, who was the best coach in the SEC? Who could coach every position? And I forgot who it was, but it was somebody I respected.
Right.
Without skipping a beat, he said Charlie McClendon. And so Charlie had a pretty good run at LSU, and that was a different time back in. And you know what? They all wear coat. They all wore coats and ties, and on the sideline on Saturday, if they didn't, they took the coat off and had on a short sleeve white shirt with a black, you know, black little black tie.
Right.
And it was totally different. And yeah.
Back then. More maybe not the 60s, but in the 70s, very early 80s, we didn't have SEC football media days at one hotel. You guys flew city to city.
Ooh.
I never – that's before me. But Bob Bell used to tell me about those trips all the time.
You know, I have said for years and years and years, I wish I could do it. Somebody needs to write a book.
Just on that.
About the Skywriters Tour. It would put Caddyshack to –
probably being too salacious. I don't know.
No. Ben Bird,
right?
Who I love dearly, and who is who was a sports writer in Knoxville for years and years and years. He said, "Man," he said, "if somebody ever wrote a book about this, he said, a lot of us would have to leave the country." I said, "You're right." Now Ben wasn't in that category. Ben was a very nice guy, but there were those that would, you know, drink until midnight, go to bed, get up and get on the plane the next morning, fly, whether it was Doug Dickey at Florida or whoever it was, and interview him, and just the days just rolled on, man. It was just one big party from the time you got on the plane. And there were a couple of times in a couple of years there where the pilots even partook of our partying a little bit, and boy, they were red-eyed the next morning. You know, the dumbest thing I ever did in my life? We're flying, and these were Southern Airways. Martin 404s, and we were flying somewhere, and then the pilots were, you know, just sitting up there, and they had the door open. I walked up there one morning as we were flying to Gainesville or somewhere, and I said, "All right, guys, this is a takeover. I'm here to tell you that you're hijacked." And they looked at me and said, "We had to fly into the nearest airport because it were the standards required that." I was just joking. I said, "Guys, I'm joking." He said, "It doesn't matter, Hope. You said the words, and now it's out all over the country." And so we had to fly in, and the policeman met me there at the gate. You know, they had rolled up to the gate, and all the other guys had to sit on a plane. I got off the plane, went in, and was interrogated for an hour over that. And I learned my lesson.
You can say you've hijacked a plane then.
Yes, exactly.
Hope, always a pleasure, good friend.
Thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
Fantastic event right here. Starting to get busy out here as well. Come on by. Omni Nashville Hotel.